Now at Verizon, they're locking in low prices for 3 years guaranteed on my plan. And you can get a single line for just $45 a month when you switch and bring your phone. That's their best price ever on unlimited welcome with autopay plus taxes and fees. Guaranteed for 3 years. Because at Verizon, they got you. Visit your local Verizon store today. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When will I have something to enjoy when it comes to being a sports fan? I sit back, I watch, I dedicate my career to it, all my time, my passion, my energy, and I am not rewarded ever, ever. On a day where the Mets owner has to go out there and meet the media because of a crappy season by the highest paid team in the sport, the Yankees and Domingo Germán throw a freaking perfect game. Are you kidding me? Come on now. I told you the Yankees are winning it all this year. I know it. I know it's happening. Embrace it. It's happening. Why do these things only happen to the Yankees? There are franchises that are just, I don't want to say lucky. I mean, obviously they're better than others. But there are franchises and fan bases that are just blessed. And then there are the Mets. It's unbelievable. The Yankee fan is like, oh man, it's been a while since we've experienced this. Yeah, been a while, really long time. Actually, hard to believe that there's only four perfect games in Yankees history. Feels like there's been plenty more. I know the no-hitters are different. You've seen plenty of those, of course, but it's unbelievable. Domingo Germán, who, by the way, I like as a pitcher, of course. You don't have to get into the personal stuff, but as a pitcher, I've believed in Domingo Germán, which made me surprised the last couple of outings where he's getting tattooed. And we said yesterday before we left the air that this was an important start for him, a big bounce-back start. He goes out there and throws a perfect game. What more do you need? And then I got to watch it. I'm watching the postgame on Yes, and Chris Sheeran, my old buddy, doing the postgame with Jack Curry, who I like. And by the way, Ryan Rucco did a great job on the call. But I'm watching the postgame, and then they're talking about, maybe this could be the thing that can springboard the Yankees. Springboard them? I mean, all they do is win series. I told you yesterday, no big deal losing a game to the A's. All right, big deal. The Yankees are going to come back and win the next two. They go out there and squash the A's and throw a perfect freaking game. Maybe the Yanks will get their season turned around. Turned around from what? 7 games over .500? Winning series even with a crappy lineup? What needs to be turned around exactly? It is unbelievable. A bad year for the Yankees. A bad year for the Yankees is basically the best year for the Mets. And I'm tired of it. At what point can things level out a little bit? The three perfect games the Yankees have thrown in recent history, I remember them all. I hated the Yankees with Wells and Cone throwing those perfect games. Don Larsen, of course, I wasn't around for that one, but how could you forget it? As far as growing up hearing about it, Don Larsen, perfect game, World Series, you understand that, but Wells and Cone, I lived through it. And now Domingo Germán, think about this, all kidding aside. Domingo Germán, the 24th perfect game in the history of the sport. This is different than a no-hitter. This is different than anything else. Perfect game. There's only been 24 of them. 24 in the history of the sport. I mean, you know, there were 24 games played in consecutive nights in baseball. Think about that in the history of the sport, as far back as it goes. We witnessed something last night and early this morning that just doesn't happen. 24 in the history of the game. That is something special. And four of them to the Yankees. And zero of them to the Mets. I mean, can you... Does it get any worse if you're a Met fan? It's not about the Mets. I understand that. But, I mean, geez, you're watching this. Come on now. The Yankees, all the Yankee fans complaining about this team and the injuries, and they look lifeless, and, oh, they lost to the A's, and they're only taking two out of three. They're not sweeping these series. You know, they're only 7 over .500, 8 over .500. There should be more. And here they go and throw a perfect game. It's unbelievable. Look, that's what makes sports great, right? You never know what's going to happen on any given night. You could see something special, see something historic. But it also makes it infuriating if you are a fan of one of the teams who does not have success. And that is the majority. Now, it's not the Yankees. Even though the Yankees haven't won or been to a World Series since 2009, they continue to be a team that gives their fan base excitement and gives their fan base fun and gives their fan base moments. We pick on them, we critique Cashman, Boone, whatever, but it's a different standard that the Yankees are held to because of their success historically. They're held to a different standard. That's just the reality. But generally, they come close, if not, just live up to it. You know, obviously, like we said, outside of not getting in the World Series since 2009 or winning one, which for them feels like forever ago. But think about it. I mean, the majority of Yankee fans in their lifetime, even recent memories, as we mentioned, have seen three perfect games. The Met fan, in their entire history, has seen one imperfect no-hitter. It's not fair. Why do the Yankee fans have all the fun? I don't believe in the sports gods. They got to level things out a little bit, please. What did we do wrong? On a night where Steve Cohen, after a 101 win season, he's got to address the media because his team is a total flop this year. Domingo freaking Herman throws a 24th perfect game in Major League Baseball history. I mean, that is enough to drive you nuts. I don't hate the Yankees anymore, but I'll tell you, I didn't want to see that perfect game. And the reason is because, and this is just, you know, the misery loves company department. The reason is, and it's the same way I hate when I watch other teams celebrate, whether it's the Vegas freaking Golden Knights winning a Stanley Cup, whether it is Denver winning an NBA championship, you know, whether it's the Phillies having a champagne celebration going to the World Series a year ago, whoever, you know, the Chiefs winning the Super Bowl. If it's not my team, I don't want to see it. It bothers me. I've seen way too many celebrations that have nothing to do with the teams that I root for throughout the course of my life or my sports fandom. I'm tired of it. And this was supposed to be a different year. It was supposed to be the Mets' turn to have some success. They can't even get to the playoffs in consecutive years. No hitters, perfect games, playoff appearances. The Mets know none of it. The majority of their existence, they know none of it. A franchise that has been in the postseason consecutive years twice in their history. 99 and 2000, 2015 and 16. That is pathetic. The one no-hitter wasn't even a no-hitter if there was replay. But the Yankees continue to go out there and churn out historic moments. A perfect game. I can't even believe it. I don't care that it was against the A's. He threw a perfect game, for goodness sake. I told you this is a special year for the Yankees, and now I'm convinced. Now I am convinced. I've seen it before. Twice. 98, 99. And now 2023. It's happening. If you're a Yankee fan, get excited about it. If you're a Met fan, brace yourselves. It's coming. 877-337-6666. Your calls on the other side. Sal Licata on the Fan.
Now at Verizon, they're locking in low prices for 3 years guaranteed on my plan. And you can get a single line for just $45 a month when you switch and bring your phone. That's their best price ever on unlimited welcome with auto pay plus taxes and fees. Guaranteed for 3 years. Because at Verizon, they got you. Visit your local Verizon store today. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Speak your mind at 877-337-6666. Powered by Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com.
The sports gods. Never. I believe they exist. I don't believe that it'll ever be fair. Explain to me how this is fair. 877-337-6666 is the number to call. Talking Yankees, talking Mets. Just a wild day when you think about it in contrast. And it just sums up at least the majority of my life being a Mets fan and watching the two teams in this town. And again, I grew up in the 80s, so I saw it a different way where the Mets were the premier team in town. But since then, it's been all Yankees. One thing after another. Perfect games, no hitters, World Series, dynasty. And the Mets, nothing. And then a day where Steve Cohen's got to go out there and face the music. He didn't even have to. And it was really no music to face. It was, we knew he wasn't going to say much. There was nothing to say. But on a day where Steve Cohen addresses the media and says how disappointing this season has been, you get the Yankees throwing a perfect game, the 24th perfect game in the history of the sport. And I'll be honest, you know, we joke around a little bit here for entertainment value, of course. Listening to the game for a little bit and then watching the game. And they're, like, you love seeing history. Whether you're a Yankee fan or not, you do love seeing history. Now, I wouldn't have minded had it gotten broken up because I don't want anybody to experience the joy if it's not going to be me as a fan. But you do appreciate the history of it. And you know you're watching something special. And Herman was able to do it with relative ease. Right? I mean, there was no stress. And I know you can say, well, perfect game. Yeah, of course, easy. But maybe outside of the eighth inning, was it, where he went to 3-1 on one of the batters? It was pretty easy. Got to be so nerve-wracking in a perfect game. You're a fielder. God, I could never handle that pressure. Worried about the ball being hit to me, not wanting to be the one to cough it up. Oof. And the Yankees did a great job. Perfect game. 24th perfect game in the history of Major League Baseball. 877-337-6666. John is calling from Huntington. What's up, John?
I just want to tell you, I'm a Cubs fan and have been for 45 years, and you need to quit your whining. You don't know what suffering is.
Well, why is that?
Because, you know something? You had your heart broken a couple of times. You didn't live through Steve Bartman, Leon Durham, hundreds right. Losses, 3, 4, 5, 6.
No, I get it. No,
years.
I get it. The Cubs
you
have sucked.
Through
right.
the '80s, I had one good year to hang my hat on in my whole
life.
Well,
I was 6 years old. I was. Hey, John, shut up! Shut up, John! Shut up, you loser! Get lost! You don't know anything about me, you idiot! Listen, when I'm talking, listen, stop talking. Here you go, overnight fans. This is for you right here. You're getting it. Second to last show. I'm giving it to you. Get lost. You don't know anything about me. Oh, I've seen my team in the World Series. I was 6 years old when the Mets won the World Series in 86. Six. And that's it. You at least seen the Cubs win in recent history. And you go to that beautiful ballpark all the time. Yeah, the Cubs suck. I get it. But at least you had a recent experience winning a World Series. I haven't had it. And I'll whine if I want to. It's my party. I'll whine if I want to. Oh, you lived through the 80s. Yeah, as a 6 and 7 year old, for goodness sake. And I didn't say that it was the worst in baseball being a Mets fan. I didn't bring up your lousy Cubs. You know why? Because I'm on in New York. And nobody in New York gives a crap about the Chicago Cubs. Nobody. I'm talking about the Mets and the Yankees. So take your Cub fandom and get out of here. Cub fan telling me to stop whining. Get lost. And that was fun. Seth is calling from Scottsdale, Arizona. What's up, Seth?
Hey, Sal. I'm sorry. I can't stop laughing. I swear my lead-in with our call today was that there's two major ironies today, but a third is just the fact that the last time I spoke to you a couple weeks ago was the same time you 86 that other caller. What was his name?
Was it Jimmy in Jersey City or Roscoe? One of those two.
Yeah, Roscoe, right. Oh, Roscoe, yeah. So ironically today, to get to a couple of the points, and I like the Mets. I'm a Yankee fan. Think about it. You had Steve Cohen and you had that press conference, and then the Yankees go out and do a perfect game on the same day. It's like, gosh. And then I felt bad about that. And then secondly, Sal, Sterling and Kay, neither of them did the game today.
Ruco was terrific. Ryan Ruco was terrific. But I know it's got to bother. I'm sure it bothers Michael Kay. I mean, you know, John's been there, done that. And I'm not sure what Kay's deal was. Was he on the radio call as Sterling's partner? No. I'm saying back in for the perfect games with David Wells and David Cone.
I'm pretty sure they were, but I don't know the specifics of which was.
Right, but my point is, John's experienced that at those two moments. I don't think Kay was on Yes at that point. I don't think Yes started at that particular point. So I'm not sure. I don't know if Kay had the opportunity to call perfect. That's got to bother you. There's no way around it. That's got to bother him.
I feel bad because I like them both.
Maybe there is a sports god.
So check this out.
Ruco gets that. Ruco did a great. All kidding aside, though, Ruco did a great job. I did not hear Justin Shackle's call. We have the final call. Just get that ready. I'm not going to play it now, but we'll play that in a little bit. Go ahead. Seth.
Did you see that Ruco was actually interviewed on ESPN already tonight about his call, and he mentioned that he texted Cone. Whatever, you'll see it, but it was actually pretty cool. So check this out. I made a wager.
He texted Cone during the game?
Yeah, so I don't want to waste my time, so please don't cut me off.
No, go ahead. Yeah, I'll give you time. Yeah.
So on ESPN, they interviewed Ruco, you know, pretty much after the game. I can't remember whoever the mm-hmm. host was. And he had mentioned that as a broadcaster, you know, at what point in time was it the right time for him to bring it up? And I remember watching the game live. And he made that little comment about Rizzo getting the ball on the second out, like down the first baseline. But what he mentioned is that he texted David Cone, one of the only other 23 people to ever have a perfect game, and asked David live, because I guess Dave was doing another baseball game. He asked him, when is it time to recognize it? And he goes, now.
Wow. That's awesome.
Cool. Yeah. I thought that was a super cool story.
That is
You'll
cool.
see it on the center. So I was at the so here's the question, man. Ultimately, Sal. I don't have a Hermit of the Frog type memorabilia thing, but I made a wager on today's game at the casino in Arizona, Scottsdale, it's the middle of the afternoon. I have the piece of paper for Mon to win. I actually placed it after the first inning because I actually recognized his stuff, or so I thought. Is that a memorable piece of, you know?
How much are you going to cash out if you cash that thing in?
Of course. $850.
$850?
Well, yeah, the bet was $500.
Yeah, all right. So why don't you go make a copy of the bet slip and then go cash that bad boy in?
Of course I'm taking it in. I took a picture of the slip. I just thought it was kind of
there
funny.
You go.
I texted my friends and I said, is it really possible to make a perfect bet? But in this case, it was. Sal, congrats. Unfortunately, because you're now going to be on the earlier show, I won't be able to listen to you as much because I'm so far behind you. But I'll catch you, and I'm happy for you. You deserve the best.
Thank you very much, Seth. I appreciate it, man. Thanks for checking in. That's pretty cool. Seeing that he had something early on, go place an in-game live wager, and the guy throws a perfect game. I do love baseball so much, and you love the history of it. And every time one of these things happened, I guess the last one was 2012. That's a long time ago now, 2012. But every time one of these things happened, I think it was a run. Maybe it was around that time where, Fleeks, can we get a list of the perfect games? Because I feel like there was a run where maybe it was a 2 or 3 year span where a few of them happened, even with the Yankees in consecutive years. Like, if you think about it, 24 have happened in the history of the sport. And, yeah, the Yankees throwing them back-to-back years, which is crazy. But I feel like there was a run. Was it Burley that I'm thinking of where Wise made a great catch? Was that 2012? What was the last one?
The 2012 ones were Felix Hernandez and Matt Cain.
Matt Cain. Okay, what was before that? And that was the last one.
Philip Umber was also 2012.
Oh, maybe it was Umber.
Halliday was 2010. Dallas Braden was 2010. Mark Burley was July 23rd, 2009.
Okay, so like from 2009 to 2012, there were what, five in there that you said?
Six.
Six in there, right? That's a lot. So if you lived through that time period, and the majority of us did, you feel like, oh, all right, not that big of a deal. But when you think about it, 24 in the freaking history of the game.
When David Wells threw his in 1998, that was only the 13th, or 15th if we're including the ancient ones in Major League history.
That is unbelievable, right? 15. Like, people go nuts thinking about a cycle or whatever, even a no-hitter. Like, it's not even close. 24th perfect game in Major League Baseball history. A historic night. You gotta love sports. Dave is calling from Staten Island. What's up, Dave? Hi, Dave. Dave with us? No, Dave is not there. Matt is calling from the Bronx. What's up, Matt?
Hey, my friend. How you doing?
Good,
I didn't
Matt.
Realize. I hope you're having a great night. I didn't realize until a few minutes ago how devout of a Mets fan you were, and it's ironic because I just wanted to bring up some positive points about the Yankees'
sure.
perfect game history, and I'm not doing it to rub anything in.
No. I'm fine with it. Look, a lot of what I'm doing is for entertainment purposes and having fun with it, but, yeah, I mean, it is frustrating when you're a Mets fan and you have nothing to celebrate, it feels like, ever, and yet the Yankees and others celebrate endlessly, and the Yankees more so than anybody else. But go ahead, Matt.
Well, your day will come, my friend.
No, it won't. Believe me, I've been around long enough. I know it won't.
Yeah, I just want people to enjoy what it's like to
success. You know, I mean, I'm have to switch sides. Yeah,
I'm from the Bronx. I live 5 minutes from the stadium. So who else? Who am I supposed to cheer for?
That's your team.
So what I'm saying is there's some really, really interesting history about the Yankees with perfect games. The most ironic thing is that David Wells and Don Larsen went to the same high school in San Diego.
Hmm.
So he pitches the perfect game in 56, Larsen. Wells pitches in 98, the perfect game. They both went to Point Loma High School in San Diego.
Okay.
Then, what's even crazier about it was 1 year later, when Cone has the perfect game, Larsen throws out the first pitch.
Oh, I remember that. Was...
Now, to me, that ties all three of those perfect games together.
Right.
Okay. So, but... Well,
how are you tying this one in? Does this one get tied in or no?
Yeah, it does.
Okay.
All four of them. The name starts with a D.
Oh, yeah. I saw that. I mean, you know.
Oh.
I don't know. Well, no, it's not your fault. I saw the same thing I was thinking of. People on Twitter were mentioning it. So when I was watching that or when I was reading through Twitter, I saw that be the case. Yeah, I mean, that's an oddity, of course. It's a shame David Cone wasn't calling this game because then you could have had a nice, easy tie-in right there.
That would have been too perfect.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Like, it wasn't... Right. Then I wasn't
no
perfect
intended.
Enough. Exactly. Well, I mean, enjoy it, Matt. It was a... you know, was it one of those ones for you where you're calling family members and fellow Yankee fan friends to get them up in case they weren't watching?
I was too late. You know, everyone I know is sleeping probably. You know, I did text a couple of people, my friends that are like the biggest Yankee fans, and then they didn't know, they had no idea. But please let me just bring a couple more points.
Yeah, go ahead.
the first three perfect games, they won the World Series all 3 years.
Yep, yep.
So that would be great. And the other thing is, it should actually be perfect game number 26.
Well, Galarraga's one, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that was one I was thinking of. What's the other one?
Not because of an injustice, but one strike away, Messina, September 2nd, 2001.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah, I remember that. I celebrated like as if my team had won the World Series when Carl Everett got that base hit.
You know, you want to hear the funniest thing? My father was like sleeping, and I woke him up, and I was like, "Dad, you got to come out. You got to see it." He didn't read, but he was so tired. He came out, and he looked at the TV, and then there was the base hit, and he looked at me.
I'm not going to count that one. I know what you're saying, one strike away, but he didn't get the job done. Galarraga did get the job done, and thank you for the call, Matt. You know, it's funny because I was thinking about Galarraga because I was thinking to myself, wow, I mean, I got two overnights left, and you know, obviously only one after tonight, and I was thinking I've never been on the air reacting to a perfect game. This is going to be crazy. And I remembered that I did do a show. I don't remember exactly when it was with the Galarraga thing. It might have been like that week, let's say, or a couple of days later. But I filled in and did a show talking about the Galarraga perfect game because that was a huge talking point at the time with, you know, no replay and Jim Joyce screwing up that call. And I was thinking of that tonight, that should have been a perfect game. And he was robbed of that. And you feel badly for him. Now, we all know what happened. And his name even gets mentioned tonight on a night where somebody else throws a perfect game many years later. His name gets brought up still. But it technically wasn't a perfect game and it should have been 25. That Messina one, though, I remember very well. I was at a block party, Labor Day party. And, you know, I was there with my buddy Vin, TV Vin, and it was at his house, and we were watching a game in the backyard of his father's bar, and everybody's around watching it, and Vin and I hated the Yankees. Like, that was the prime of my Yankee hatred. This is coming off the dynasty, beating the Mets in a World Series, all that. And Everett got that base hit. It was, you know, a relief, to say the least. But obviously, from a Yankee fan perspective, that's painful, and for Messina, you have to feel bad. And looking back at it, you know, You wish you'd gone differently for Messina. If you're a Yankee fan. James is calling from Muncie. What's up, James?
Yeah, how you doing, Sal?
Good, James. How are you?
Good. It's sad to hear you leaving overnight, guys. But whatever. I wish you much success and luck on the next show.
Well, thank you, James. I appreciate it very much.
Yeah, I'm losing on to Odyssey app, of course, every day.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
A point I wanted to make about 2 points. One Yankees, one Mets. The perfect game. It's absolutely...
For the call. Thank you for the call there. Don't want to use that word. It's a crazy experience. And, you know, to be able to sit back and watch that, it's exciting. You don't start taking it seriously till maybe the fifth inning, but even then you're like, all right, let's see what he could do here. And then it's the sixth, and then the seventh, and now it's like, all right, now I got to make it a point to, you know, lock in here and pay attention to this. Then you start, you know, early on in the game, you're feeling it out, and then you get to a certain point after six where it's like, okay, now I'm watching specifically for this. Nothing else in the world matters right now. We got to see if he can finish this thing off. And he did it. Unbelievable. Now, how many times have we seen somebody get to the sixth or seventh? And we've seen it quite a bit, and then something goes wrong, a walk or a base hit or whatever. But to see it just keep going on, and then he mows him down in the eighth, and then on to the ninth we go. Boy. Now, if there ever was a team that was built to be to have a perfect game thrown against them, it's the Oakland A's. Matter of fact, I wouldn't be shocked if they get no hit again at some point this year. Perfect game, who knows? But Domingo Germán was terrific. It was, as Jack Curry said on the Yes post game, it was a dominant performance. And that's what makes perfect games so much more special than no hitters is that, you know, you're not walking anybody. That, to me, is the most important thing. Yeah, all right, you don't want to give up a hit, but if you're not walking anybody, that makes it special. And her mom was just dealing all night long.
Huh?
Talk New York sports with us. 877-337-6666. Powered by Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com.
Back on the Fan, 877-337-6666. What a night, or what a day yesterday and then night. Steve Cohen addressing the media out at Citi Field and really didn't say much. I mean, we told you yesterday, what do you expect that Steve Cohen is going to say? We knew he wasn't going to fire anybody, so he said definitively Buck Showalter, Billy Epler not going anywhere. Talked about the idea of hiring a team president moving forward, which we also knew. Now, that's no secret. There was, the only thing that maybe I learned from Cohen was he will adjust to being a seller if need be. And by the looks of it, it will be needed for this team, unfortunately. But with all that going on with the Mets, none of it matters really. And we get into that throughout the course of the show. None of it matters once you see a little history last night in Oakland. Domingo Germán throwing a perfect game against the Oakland A's. Nice bounce back win for the Yanks. They score 11 runs and, don't allow a hit or a walk by Germán. As we said, the perfect game. So a perfect night for the Yankees. Scott is calling from Buffalo. What's up, Scott?
Hey, Scott. You think you have problems when it comes to teams? I'll give you my four. Sabres in hockey, Tigers in baseball, Jets in football, and Knicks in basketball.
So have you seen, I don't know how old you are, but did you see the Tigers win?
Yes, I saw the 84 Tigers as a kid. I was 7 years old, and I thought, my dad was a Tiger fan, I became a Tiger fan through him. I thought, this is great, every year is going to be like this. Yeah, no, not even
wrong, close. Yeah. So Tigers, not Sabres, close. Knicks, and what was it? Oh, Jets. Oh, man.
Jets.
Yeah.
Oh, let's see. Sabres, the closest thing I've ever seen is no goal in 99, where Brett Hull was in the crease.
Mm-hmm.
They called the goal, and then the next day they said they sent out a letter saying that the league sent out a letter that we're going to allow goals. There was a guy in the crease, so the goal stands. Okay, that happened the day after.
Yeah, at least I had the 94 cup with the Rangers.
Jets, the closest I've ever seen was the back-to-back AFC championship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm familiar with it.
I was a real little kid when this would happen. The Mud Bowl, when Shula decided to take the tarp, somehow the tarp went missing, so they could shut down two wide receivers and get that.
I mean, look, the bottom line, Scott, and thank you for the call. The bottom line is, being a sports fan, especially when you root for the crappy teams that you and I do, being a sports fan is a lot of misery. And then there's Marco freaking Belletti, who's in here as usual with his Yankee hat on, with a smile that I haven't seen from him maybe ever. And Marco, you know what? I'm going to have that smile tomorrow. I'm going to have that smile on my face tomorrow as the final overnight. You just had a baby. I haven't seen you this happy in ever.
I'm in a good mood.
A perfecto.
And I actually physically saw it.
The whole thing?
No, well, not every pitch, because
I'm here. I know, right.
No, but I saw the end. Look, the Yankees, they've had a few, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously, I wasn't alive for Larson in 56.
Right.
David Wells, I'm at work, didn't see it. Didn't
really?
Know until after it's over. David Cohn, I'm at work, actually had a friend call me at work in the ninth inning. He was like, hey, if you got a radio near you, might want to put it on. Cohn's throwing a perfect game. And I was like, what? By the time I scrambled to be able to get a radio, to get it on, and the only thing I hear is, he popped him up! He's going to do it! I was like, what the hell's going on? So this one, being able to see it, made me feel good.
Was the final out Orlando Cabrera?
Correct.
And then what about the Minnesota one? Do you remember who that was?
Oh, it was a fly ball to right. No, I don't remember who the player on the Twins was for Wells.
Yeah, I forget too, but I remember,
I feel like
them.
I know it.
Were they both afternoon games? They were both afternoon games, right? Because I feel
like they were both on a Sunday,
yeah, right.
If I remember right. Yeah, and I was at work at King's Supermarket.
Oh, I used to love working at the supermarket.
I worked in that supermarket for 10 years.
I love stocking shelves. I love it.
I was in the produce department, so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I used to be a cashier. You're a cashier. I used to be a cashier.
That's one of the only jobs I think other than meat and seafood, yeah. Cashier was the only thing I never did.
I did cashier, and then I did a little bit of stocking shelves or stock boy, I think it was called at the time.
Grocery. It depends on what you're doing. You could be non-foods. You could be grocery. It depends on how big the supermarket is.
Although I did some at some point. I did a lot
of dairy stuff too. I was a produce guy.
I just love the vibe in a supermarket, like the music, the seasonal change in you know, whether you're the displays change or the music changes.
Yeah, you didn't work there for very long, did you?
Let's see, from like 97 through 98, maybe?
Yeah,
and then I went to Home Depot.
Yeah, you didn't work there for very long.
No, but I liked it much better than Home Depot. And I was there much longer, Home Depot.
Maybe. I don't know. I never worked at a Home Depot. The one thing about supermarket, and look, I did it for more than a decade of my life. It was a good job. It's not a bad, but the monotony and the fact that you're saying, like, all the displays, you build them to get them broken down.
Yeah, but it's fun. I like reorganizing, leveling is what they call it. Making sure the labels are, whatever, all that stuff. I miss that.
Yeah.
Like I said, for whatever reason, if it doesn't work out with BT, and I may have to go back to the supermarket.
Well, that's the only thing I do. I have no skills. So, yeah.
Right. Me neither.
I can speak somewhat a little bit of English, and I can work in produce.
I can't even do that. You know, it's sad to me that I just don't have these moments to experience as a fan. And yet I sit back and watch everybody else get. Marco gets to experience it. This guy gets to experience it. That guy.
You had Johan. You had Johan.
Johan. Do not do that. You're what? Patronizing. I know what you're doing.
What? Because the ball was fair? I'm not doing that. He threw a no-hitter, did he not?
I gave away tickets to that game.
Wow, that sucks.
I had to work. I gave away tickets.
Well, make you feel better? I was supposed to be at the Dwight Gooden no-hitter, too, and I didn't see it.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Dwight Gooden throws a no-hitter with the Yankees.
Didn't see it.
I wish I didn't see that. I remember it. Paul Sorrento, final out?
Yes, the pop-up to Jeter. Right. Yes. I had never seen one. Corey Kluber's I saw live. That was a couple years
ago. Corey Kluber? I mean, come on.
Feels like, it was like, really? Did he do that? Yeah, Corey Kluber threw a no-hitter.
What was it? That was 2021? Yes. I was on the air after that.
Or 20? Yeah, it's got to be 21. 21.
Yeah. That was 2021. Yeah, I was doing overnight. JJ already left at that point. I was on after that one. That one I remember.
I didn't work that
night. But a no-hitter, I'm like, Corey Kluber,
it felt anticlimactic. I'm not going to deny that. Yeah, but it was cool at the time. I mean, it just didn't feel, it wasn't the same feeling. Tonight feels awesome. I mean, one's a perfect game, but as much as, unfortunately, 12 people see it in Oakland? that kind of sucks.
And the crowd goes
a little bit.
Wild.
I mean,
they're on their feet here in Oakland.
Perfect game in front of 7 people.
Hey!
I actually did look that up. There were 12,000 and change as the announced attendance. The only other perfect game in the last 30 to 40 years that comes close is the other perfect game thrown at the Coliseum, Dallas Braden in 2010.
Wow.
Every other one, you have minimum 25, 30, 42,000.
But there's no way that many people are actually there.
Right, that's the announced attendance.
You would think it'd be more for the Yankees. God.
Well, I mean, it's a trip, but you're going to Oakland.
Yeah, there's 8,000 Yankee fans and 100 A's fans.
Yeah, but and also, too, make the trip out. Like, if you're going to go to the West Coast, you want to go to Oakland?
I did it last year. You never been? Well, you never been anywhere.
I've been to the West Coast once, but I never went to Oakland.
The only thing that's more rare than a perfect game is Marco getting on a plane. I mean, how many?
That's fair.
How many times has that happened?
Twice. Twice.
No, 4 times because they're back, right? Or is it just one trip?
Yeah, and I had a connecting. So what? You want to say 3? I guess I had when I went to LA, I had a stop in Chicago.
Fleegs, have you been to Oakland at all? I know you did the San Fran. Did you
do
Oakland?
Well, like you said, of all the trips I planned, I would if I went to a game in the Bay Area, I'd go to San Fran in that beautiful ballpark.
No, I know, but just check it off the list. You're there anyway.
I'll cross the Vegas one when they move there.
I got to tell you something. My list doesn't say like sewage. I don't need to see that.
All right, let me tell you this.
Yeah, you know what? If I'm going to a stadium, I want them to have toilets, modern plumbing.
I get that, but for me, it's about the history. Yeah, I hate those things. For me, it's about
the
history.
I already used the trough at Beaver Stadium. I'm good.
Yeah, I don't want to use the trough, period. And I'm not going to touch the Beaver Stadium line. The history there with the A's, though, I remember growing up watching Canseco, McGuire, those 80s A's teams, the Yankees and A's having all those battles in the 2000s or whatever, 2001. So there's history there. And I'll tell you, not to mention the Raiders a little bit, too, obviously, growing up watching them there. And they're not there anymore, of course, but it was cool to see it, and it looked totally different in reality where the outfield, you know how they have, it looks monstrous. The building.
Yeah, the giant walls and everything. Yeah.
It's really not. The buildings on top of the center field wall, it's not that tall. It looks smaller in
especially
in
if you've been to a football stadium, it's probably not that huge. And you hit on the reason probably why I haven't been there. Growing up as a Mets fan in the 90s and 2000s, there's no history because I missed the Canseco McGuire years just as a baseball fan. I remember the A's as the Moneyball team, the most celebrated losers to accomplish nothing of all time. Mm. And then in football, as a Jets fan, there's not a single positive memory in that building.
That's right. I forgot about that from a Jets fan perspective. Yeah, I just like the history. There are very few of those buildings now that we grew up watching that are still there. That's one of them.
And those old day teams, I enjoyed watching them as much as, you know, and Buck Showalter had a thing with Tony La Russa in like the early 90s. But there was some animosity between those. It was fun.
Even
though the Yankees get their ass kicked constantly.
87 through about 90, those A's, I loved it. When you're playing wiffle ball out front, I would write down the lineup, be all those guys.
What happened in that building is the reason we were stuck with Sandy Alderson for 8 years, driving the Mets into the ground.
I hate
the A's in the Coliseum just being tangentially related to that.
Because they lost and then...
because Sandy built those teams. People think that Sandy Alderson could run a baseball team.
I got you. Okay.
Yeah, Sandy built the Dave Stewart, Canseco, McGuire teams.
Yeah, Canseco and McGuire discovered a needle first. Sandy was a genius.
Which is crazy. Yeah, I love the Dave Stewart, Bob Welch. Love those guys.
Yeah. Terry Steinbach, Carl Lansford,
Mike Gallego,
Ricky Henderson, which annoys me that
Luis
the Yankees traded.
Polonia. Well, I'm just saying
that. Henderson. Yeah. They were good.
Dave Parker was there as a DH.
Yep.
Harold Baines even went there afterward, right?
A Mets fan's only connection to the A's, the old A's, if it's before you were born, 80s, 70s, who cares? What's the difference?
All right.
Is the A's beating the Mets in a World Series.
Right. Which I had no recollection of. I mean, I know it in 73, but I have no memory of that whatsoever.
That's before we were born,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, 877, we'll get back to the perfect game and the Yankee fans celebrating, the Met fans being angry. Some things never change.
Now at Verizon, they're locking in low prices for 3 years guaranteed on my plan. And you can get a single line for just $45 a month when you switch and bring your phone. That's their best price ever on unlimited welcome with auto pay plus taxes and fees. Guaranteed for 3 years. Because at Verizon, they got you. Visit your local Verizon store today. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming and 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.